Let's go right into Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The word therefore simply refers to the things that we have already studied. There are 10 things that we have learned in these past 4 chapters. One is we have been called into the grace of Christ. We've been called into. When you're called into something, you're called out of something. You can't stay where you are when you're called into something else. Second one that we learned is the fact that we are justified by grace and not by the law. The third thing we've learned in these chapters is that we've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we're alive. We live in the liberty of Christ and the power of his resurrection. That's in chapter 220. Fourth thing, we have received a spirit by the hearing of faith. That's in 3:2. We've learned that. Now, I hope we're getting established on these facts. The fifth thing is the working of miracles by the hearing of faith. That's in 3:5. Sixth thing, we've learned that we have been free from the curse of the law. And the seventh thing we need to learn definitely, that we were born again by Mother Grace. I was never under bondage. Chapter 4:23. Eighth thing, the law was our schoolmaster. And we learn now that school is out. It was out when Christ came and we graduated from school. 3:24. Nine, we take our liberty as sons and not servants of the flesh. 4:7. Our liberty is in a new city called the New Jerusalem. And the tenth thing is we have cast out the bondwoman with her son. And we trust that everybody here has done that. Owing this liberty to Christ, for it is only Christ who has made us free. There's no other freedom except in him. We want to take a stand for this freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. The word entangled here, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. It has a thought of to hold against. There are two reasons to associate with those who would bring us into bondage, which Peter said neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. Terrible bondage. All right, verse 2 and 3. Yes. Oh, let's see, I wrote these all down here. Number 4, we receive the spirit of hearing of faith. What did I say? I read those, all of that. I wrote them down. Hearing of faith. What a wonderful spirit that is to touch our ears, heal our ears, prick our ears, clean our ears out. But only Christ can make us free. And I remember I was talking about the word entangled. We don't want to be entangled. Because when we get entangled, we could trip and fall very easy, couldn't we? Verses 2 and 3. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. There is no profit in being circumcised, because circumcision is only a sign. It has no spiritual gift to it. It's a sign. Now read that concerning Abraham in Romans 4:9-11. It's called a token of God's covenant of grace. A picture, we might say. It's a picture of the cutting off of the flesh. And this happened at the cross, where all flesh was cut off in the personage of Jesus Christ. Provisionally, the old man was cut off, and a spiritual man took his place from the cross. How wonderful that is. It's a sign of a sign profits us nothing. Neither can any other kind of self-effort of the flesh profit us anything. All the gain, eternal gains that we can get in this life is of Christ and him alone. And if people want to run after the law, they had the right to do that. They can put themselves under the burden. They can put themselves under a law to be saved. They can put themselves under a law to keep themselves saved. And then they'd be indebted to do the whole law. Every jot and tittle of it. Now James says the law is like a chain. How many links do you have to break in a chain to have a broken chain? Just one. You just break one, And that's all. You break one and they're all broken. So Christ isn't anything when people are just looking at signs. And he says here in verse 4 that Christ has become none effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, and this is a most unmisunderstood portion, you are fallen from grace. The best rendering is Christ is null and void to anyone who is justified by the law. Can anybody truly, in God's sight, be justified by the law? So who are they fooling when they think that they're being justified? You know, most legal people don't see that they fail. All of them I ever knew, anyway. It's the other guy that sins. And they're always pointing their finger at somebody else. You better be careful. There's no freedom to it. Flesh, under any circumstances, could ever please God. It's either law or grace, one of the two, and can never be both. And this is a secret of true doctrine. True doctrine is the flesh can never please God. Memorize that with your heart. The flesh can never please God under any circumstances. Verses 5 and 6. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. For in Christ, Jesus Christ, there is neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. The word we here in this verse has reference to those who have put themselves under law. I'm sorry, who have not put themselves under law. People who put themselves under law are those who fall from grace. You can't be both of them. If you put yourself under legalism, then you can't be under grace too, because they clash. They're different. They're opposite of each other. You can't be in a lighted room and dark room at the same time, can you? So the word we in this here is these who the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, takes our spirit and he talks to our spirit to await for the hope that is set before us. There are some saints whose hope is, someday I'll be saved. If I'm good enough. I prayed with a man in the hospital one day, and he was dying, and he knew he was dying, and he says, hey, I want you to pray with me, but pray that I don't have an evil thought between now and the time I die, because I'll go to hell if I do. He died under such a burden and a load. Think about that. Our hope is in Christ and him alone. And so, like here, we shout with Paul, to the praise of the glory of his grace, whereby he has made us accepted in the beloved. That's in Ephesians 1:16. He made us accepted. We're not accepted any other way except in the beloved. How wonderful. Another one in Romans 8:23. Most of us know that. How's that go? Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. See, that's when we get a glorified body. And we know it's sure. We're waiting for this sun placing that'll actually become effective. It'll become a reality to us. And then another one I wanted to speak of here is in Ephesians 1:14. And this is speaking concerning the Holy Spirit. And it says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of our purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, it makes no difference. It is faith which works through love. The Holy Spirit is a pledge. That word earnest could be translated pledge, that God is going to finish what he started in your life until our purchased possession is redeemed. He's going to finish it out until he takes us to glory and gives us a new body. And so we can bank on this. We know it's true. Colossians, where is that? We are of the circumcision who worship God in, I don't remember where that is. Worship God in Philippians? Philippians 3, isn't it? Yeah, I think it is. If I remember right. But we are the circumcision. We're really, when we count ourselves with Christ, that we were cut off at the cross 2,000 years ago, fulfills the act of the law of circumcision in us. All the flesh was cut off. You count that? Count all the flesh was cut off at Christ, with Christ at the cross. That's what circumcision is. All right. Would you find that, Bill?
Philippians 3:3.
How much confidence? Where did we put our confidence in? In the new man that was cut off, that was made alive when the old man was cut off. There's where our confidence. All right, 7 and 8. You did run well. Who did hinder you? Or who drove you backward is a better rendering of that. Who drove you against the truth that ye should not obey the truth? This precision cometh not from him that calleth you. This fast talk, that's what it should be. This fast talking men that from Jerusalem came and told them, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you can't be saved. What did they do to you? Just ruin your life. This kind of talk does not come from the one above. It doesn't come from the one that called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, people just realize what they've been called of. That's in Colossians 1:13, I believe it is, isn't it? Called you out of darkness into his... No, that's in Peter. Called you out of darkness. 1 Peter 2:9. But Colossians 1:13 says we were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Oh, what a place that God has put us in. Praise the Lord. In verse 9, Colossians 1:9, God is faithful. Isn't that wonderful? God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son. 1 Corinthians 1:9. 1 Corinthians 1:9. Called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 10 of our lesson. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none other minded. But he that troubled you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. It doesn't make any difference who he is. Paul had no confidence in these people's flesh. It didn't make any difference who they are. As we just read in Philippians 3:3. 1 Corinthians 3:13. We read that every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. The day shall declare it. It'll put it forth. Those that build out of hay, wood, and stubble, the day shall declare it, because it's going to be revealed by fire. And what will happen to people when all their works is tried by fire as hay, wood, and stubble? And it says there, and they themselves shall be saved. It's their works that's going to be burned, not the person. They'll still go to heaven. People are preaching false doctrine. Their works will all be burned. Wouldn't it be awful to preach for 50 years and have all of your works going up in flame because you didn't glorify Christ in it all? Verse 10, I have confidence in you through the Lord, and not in the flesh, but through the Lord, that you will be none otherwise minded. How wonderful. Verse 11 through 14. And I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which troubled you. For, brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but with love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And we talked about the popularity of the message of grace. And Paul preached a proper doctrine of law before he was saved. And if he kept on preaching that law doctrine, he would have never been persecuted by legalists. All he needed to do to stop persecution was to have a good moral life outwardly, and everyone would love him and think he was wonderful. They say it's all right to preach the cross, and I think it's all right too. And what is it, Philippians chapter 1? He said, some preach an envy and strife, some preach even adding to my bonds, and this is all right. But oh, how wonderful it is to preach the love of Christ, and how much he loved us hanging on that cross. We think about Cain, and Cain offered the works of his hands, and God rejected him. So will men's good works be rejected by God when he examines them, just like Cain's good works were examined. And it made Cain angry. Oh, how angry he got when God said, hey, there's a sin offering laying there by your door. All you have to do is go get it and offer it. And he refused. Oh, I tell you, heart goes out to people like that. 15. And don't you praise God for this new birth? How wonderful it is. Gives us a new heart. An ability to love. That's what I was going to mention, the latter part of that verse. The proof of all this is loving. Can you love ungodly people in the flesh? I can't do it. I heard a woman, overheard a woman say about another woman, and she said, it's a good thing God loves her, nobody else could. But the love of Christ causes us to love our enemies, doesn't it? The law don't teach us to love our enemies. Jesus says, do good for those that despitefully use you. Do good and curse not. Only Christ can do that. The whole creation can. All right, verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. The fulfillment of the law is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love does not let us act like wild animals, to be biting and devouring one another. It's verbal biting that people do. Have you ever been bit? I've had people bite me. It don't feel good either. They bite you with their tongue, not with their teeth. And what does James say about our tongue in chapter 1, verse 26? If any man among you seem to be religious, just seem to be religious, and bridle not his tongue, he deceives his own heart. This man's religion is in vain. And then in chapter 3 of James, in another one, verse 6, he says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Or we might say by this, where God's judgment will end, the fire of hell. The word there is Greek Gehenna, from the valley the sons of Hinnom. It's a valley there by Jerusalem, just south of Jerusalem. And it was a place where they burned rubbish. And again, we're talking about what the tongue will do. All the biting of the tongue, all the words the tongue by itself would bring forth is to be burned. Verses 16 through 18. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Was that telling us that people are under the law or not led by the Spirit? Not at that time. This is a good question that comes up to a lot of people. If the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us into all truth, then how come people that are under the law, how come people that are filled with the Spirit are under the law, which is not truth? That's a good question, isn't it? And I think the answer to that is the Holy Spirit will only do what we allow Him to do in our life. He will lead us and guide us. He will teach us the truth if we'll listen. But if we want our own way, even though you've been filled with the Spirit, if you want your own way, He'll let you have your own way. He surely will. I think this statement here includes Paul's discourse concerning the law and grace with, this I say then, this I say then. The simple fact is there are two parts to a believer, the Spirit and the flesh. And I can do, I've been saved and filled with the Holy Spirit for over 60 years, and I can still do anything. I'm capable of doing anything, I'll put it that way. I'm capable of doing anything that I did before I was saved, if I walk in the flesh. That's still there. I still have the same temptations. I don't have to walk in the flesh, though. It isn't compulsory for me to do that. So we live either in one realm or the other. And saints, we have to decide where we want to live. The Adam nature controls the flesh under the law. The Holy Spirit controls our human spirit under grace. Romans 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Got something to say. Is the law sin? Oh, no. It can't be so. This can't be. Nay, but I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. Is the law sin? No, God says it's holy, just, and good. It's man that can't keep it. It's man that's a sin. And the law says, thou shalt not covet. Did you ever try to quit coveting? You know what coveting is. It's simply wanting something you don't have. And you need a new heart. Only the heart of Christ is that way. As long as we're in a body of flesh, we have an old creation that covets. And let's face it, I've not known lust. I've not known these desires of the flesh. Except the law says, thou shalt not covet. Lusting or not lusting, the desire of the flesh is a real culprit that causes us to displease God with our life. Verse 12. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandments holy, just, and good. Then verse 15 through 17. Maybe I'll read down through here anyway. Well, that's where we are. 15, isn't it? That's where we are. Okay. I thought we were in verse 12. Verse 15. For that which I do allow. Oh, I'm reading. I'm sorry. I'm reading over in
Romans 7.
Over in Romans yet. Romans 7, 15 through 17. I got confused here. For that which the law, for that which I do, I allow not. This is always a tongue twister for me. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Where does sin dwell? In me. Sin dwells in the flesh. But we need not live after the flesh. Our desires is to live after the Spirit, because of the love of Christ that lives in us. So, the bottom line is, as we read here, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Isn't this simple? No, it isn't that simple. Why? Because of verse 17. Well, it isn't simple. The flesh is constantly lusting against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. There's a conflict here. And these are contrary one to the other. And it leaves us in the position that we can't do the things that we would. And when I would do good, evil is present with me. And the good that I would, I do not. And we find a war going on inside the members of our body. One pulls us, the flesh pulls us one way, the Spirit pulls us another. So we have to make a choice. Do we want to walk in the flesh or walk in the Spirit? What is our desire for our life? And the next verse will help us make this choice. Verse 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emotion, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envying, strife, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These things are a partial list. This isn't a full list. And notice it ends with such like. So there's more of them. I think you can find more along in this list when in Romans chapter 1 from verse 25 on. Just list some more works of the flesh. There's none. None of these are any better or worse than another. They're all in a category of their own. Flesh is flesh. It's rotten to the uttermost. And Jesus never died for the old man. He died to put the old man to death. So, if we don't want these things in our life, we have to put the old man dead, as we read in Romans 6:11. And we simply agree with God, and we count ourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The natural man can never come unto God's kingdom. Think about that. There can never be an inheritance to the natural man. They that walk in the flesh will come up short of an inheritance, because the flesh can never have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. And those who practice the deeds of the flesh, they're going to lose out. No. Lose what? They're going to lose their inheritance. And as we look at this list, we may say, I don't do these things. I don't commit adultery. I don't have lasciviousness. You know what lasciviousness is? It's success or absence of restraint. Oh, I don't do these things. Well, how about the little thing of envy that's listed in there? Anybody ever in envy? And wrath? Did you ever get angry? You see, these are all the same. Jesus says, if you just look at a woman and lust after her, you committed adultery. You don't have to take her to bed. You just lust. It's in your heart. Sin is in the heart of the flesh. And that's why we need a new heart. We need a heart of the Lord. Emulsions. That's simply a jealousy that's listed there. Anybody ever got jealous? Strife? Such a little thing that we kind of overlook. I think of Songs of Solomon 2, 15, I think it is. He says, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things that we would overlook. No, I don't commit adultery. I don't commit fornication. Well, maybe you don't. But but the flesh is still flesh. In Colossians 3, 8 and 9, it says, now ye also put off, like a dirty clothes, that you dirty stinking clothes that you've been sweating in all day. Put off these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on a new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. What clothes are we going to put on? What clothes are we going to wear? The dirty, stinking clothes, or are we going to wear the clean, nice, bloodstained clothes? All right, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against this there is no law. There is no law. This is an eternal tree growing in the midst of God's paradise. We see it again in Revelation 22, verse 2. And in the midst of the street of God's holy city, on either side of the river, was a tree of life that bare 12 manners of fruit and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves were for the healing of the nation. Here we have only 9 fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians, we have 9 fruits of the Spirit. 12. What was I thinking? I had that in my mind a minute ago. 12 in the flesh, works of the flesh is 12. And they work in the fruit of the Spirit. And notice that's singular. It's not plural. It's fruits. It's only one fruit. There's only 9 of these. Well, 12 is a number of the kingdom, and it's an earthly number. The Spirit is a heavenly number. 9 is 3 times 3. 3 is the fullness of God multiplied by itself. R is the square of God. 3 and 1. If Jesus comes to you to seek fruit in your life, what would he find? It's a good question, isn't it? We might leave here with that question in our mind. This fruit that we have comes in groups of 3. The first one is love, joy, and peace. Now these 3 shows our attitude to God and to man. Verse 3, love, joy, and peace. The second 3 is long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. Now this shows our attitude to earthly people, on earthly conditions. And the last 3 is faith, meekness, and temperance. And these 3 produces an overcoming life. A believer that makes his life worth something. And he makes the other two threes, work practical. Amen. Now, if we be, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and the lust. They that are Christ, put to death, crucify the flesh with all that is do with it. Now, who does this? Well, they that are Christ does this. This is a fact that they have been crucified, that they have crucified the flesh with all of its sufferings, afflictions or suffering, all of its lust, all of its passion, all that is connected with the flesh. We learn to put it to death with Christ on the cross. Have crucified the flesh. And what does this mean to me as an individual now? What does this mean to me? Well, many think that they can do this by enduring hard things, by carnal means, by fasting, through prayer, doing without things, where they can boast in the flesh. But that isn't what it's talking about. We can't boast in this. It's all of God. Now, here's our part of the whole thing. Walk in faith. Faith, not that we whip up, but faith that the Holy Spirit gives us. We can't manufacture faith. We're weak. And realize how weak we are. And we only live by the life of Christ that lives in us. The word in this, we will not be desirous. If we live by the truth, we will not be desirous of any vain glory whatsoever. Provoking one another, envying one another, none of these things will be in our life because it's not in the life of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord.